Hello, hello to the sweetest partners in the world. And I really, really mean that. I don't just say things like that. I truly mean that. You are the sweetest partners in the world. And you know, I get such beautiful comments from you and emails, just so heartwarming. And today, I'm teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why this is important, because if we live this kind of life, we will guarantee our entrance into glory. Absolutely. If we live the kind of life that the Lord asked us to live, we absolutely will guarantee our entrance. So, I want to just say my hellos. Please share this with your friends. Hello, Aliyah. Hello, Ruth and Jonas. And hello to Saroja. Hello, Apostle Elijah from Ghana. Hello to Des and Faraz. I'm going to wait till you all come on. Hello to Benjamin. And hello to Santi from Sagar, India. Anyways, hello, Rubina. Rubina Raza. She said, please pray for my brother's family. Pray for my kids. Lord, I do pray for them right now, that you will answer that prayer in Jesus' dear name. Give you the praise. Amen. Okay. Well, so today we begin a very important subject. How do we live the Christian life with the fruit of the Spirit? And notice I said fruit, not fruits. Because really it's one fruit with nine clusters. So it's the fruit rather than fruits, the Bible says. When it comes to the gifts, we have nine gifts, plural. When it comes to the fruit, we only have one fruit of the Spirit, nine revelations of it. So let's begin by, well, first let's pray. Wonderful Lord, be our teacher today. Give us clarity. In Jesus' wonderful name, anoint us, Lord, as we receive your word. Amen, amen. It's hot in Florida, and the air conditioning is blowing nice and good, so. All right. The Bible begins and closes with fruit. For example, in Genesis 2, verse 15 through 17, the Bible talks about the fruit in the garden. And then in Revelation 22, verse 1, verse 2, the Bible talks about the tree of life that will bear 12 kinds of fruit, one each month. So the Bible, you know, has a lot to say about fruit and why it's important to us and it's important to God. And there's much in the Word that deals with fruit and how to really have the right kind. So when you look at the Gospel of John, and we begin with that, and then I'll begin teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. But let's just look at the Gospel of John 15, and let's look at verse 5. Very familiar portion of the Word. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And then if you look at verse 16 of the same chapter, it says these words, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you, he may give it to you. So, what must we do to bear fruit? Well, you know, the Lord said, abide in me and I will abide in you and my word will abide in you. But there's some beautiful answers to the question, like what do I do as a Christian to remain strong in the Lord, where I'm not going to weaken, because weakening is just a part of life. Satan comes at us from all directions and the world comes at us from all directions. So what do I do? Well, it says this. Psalm 1. Let's just read verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. Meaning, you got to walk away from these people that can pollute your life. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So if you have friends around you, or even family members, that pollute your Christian life, it's time to say goodbye. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we see two things. Number one, you really cannot receive the word of God if there's pollution being thrown at you left and right from people. It's impossible. That's why it says in the epistles, come out from among them, be separate, and I will receive you. So we cannot afford, especially in these days, we can't afford having worldly people around us, including family members. As much as we love our family, is it worth it to lose heaven over them? Of course not. Jesus said, if you love your father, your mother, brother, sister, and children more than I, you're not even worthy of me. Now, he's not asking us to hate our families, but we cannot put them first. We absolutely cannot put our families first. If my father, when my dad was alive and he asked me to walk away from the faith, I said, Dad, I will obey you in everything, but not this. I can't obey. It was not a very pleasant conversation. Later on, he got saved himself, thank God. But you know, the Bible says, anyone who walks in the counsel of the ungodly or stands in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful will not bear fruit. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and then he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. So, and of course, his leaf will not wither. Whatsoever he will do will prosper. But what are the conditions? The conditions are quite simple. Get away from the world and get into the Word. Quite simple. And then when you read Psalm 92, we have something else about this that I think is extremely important, and people are not doing it today. Because you really cannot bear fruit if you don't do what Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. So individuals that neglect the fellowship of the saints cannot bear fruit. So here you have it. Number one, get away from the world. Number two, get into the Word of God. Number three, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So, because it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish, not those who walk away from the house of the Lord. And I know you, some have said, well, I can't find the right church. Oh, yes, you can. You just have to look for them. And I think sometimes the best ones are the small ones. Truly, the best ones are those with small congregations where the pastor is truly a man of God who teaches the Word, and where you can get to know the people and not just sit and look at a neck every Sunday and walk out because thousands and thousands are in there and you can't even get to know them or even get near the pastor. So if you can find a good country church somewhere, small church somewhere, that's what I did. I got more from a Free Methodist church when I was there than I did from the big churches when I got saved. You know, the pastor wasn't the greatest Bible teacher, but man, he loved the Lord. That man, Weldon Johnson, he loved the Lord. So, and he gave some good meat. Maybe not, you know, the best meat, but he gave some good meat. And that's all that matters, you know. And then, you know, you can make up the rest by reading good books and Christian books. If you're really hungry for more meat, well, you can still find it. But I think the fellowship of the saints is so important to us. So let's go back to the fruit that the Lord talked about in John Well, the identity of the fruit really is in the vine. Jesus is the one who produces it. So we're the ones who bear it, naturally. But so the fruit of the Spirit really is the fruit of Jesus. So when you abide in him, all is well. And once we are in the vine, God the Father, the gardener, who is the supervisor of the vine in the precious, begins to prune, to prepare us for growth. And pruning is not easy, it's painful. So when trials come, rejoice. God is pruning you. Now, it's God's responsibility, it's the Father's responsibility, because in John 15, 1 and 2, the Lord said, my Father is the husbandman. So it's his responsibility to keep our life productive. But we have to cooperate. We have to abide in the Lord. We have to cooperate with God. Because when that happens, the Lord in grace, and you know, and God is so gracious, he actually gives us time. You know, he doesn't rush us. He doesn't push us. He gives us time to cooperate. And when that happens, fruit will show up. So, now let's go to Galatians 5 and begin to talk about the fruit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to go to the book of Galatians, and I'm going to go to chapter 5, and I'm going to go to verse 22, and it says, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, think about that. When you have this in your life, you can't fail. There is no law. You're not under any law here where you have to work it out, you know, because you just connect yourself to the Lord and love begins to flow out. So what is love? Well, the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So this is the key to all other fruit. It's the one that directs our hearts towards the Lord. And frankly, it's supernaturally imparted. So I cannot love the Lord. He literally puts that love in me. Because it says so in Romans 5:5, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that's the love of God. So what do? I just told you, stay connected with Jesus. Spend time with him. Spend time with his word, and his love in you will never die. So the lack of the love of Jesus in us will bring his rebuke one day. Do you remember in Revelation 2:4, what he said to the church in Ephesus? I have one thing against you. You have lost your love. So when we lose our love, we could be in serious trouble with the Lord, you know. So we don't want that. And that kind of love, once the love of Jesus is in us, what does it lead us to? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. That's beautiful here. Ephesians 3 verse 18. So back to what I said earlier. Get away from the world. Get into the Word, and establish yourself in a church. It's so simple. For fruit to be produced, I gave you those scriptures from the Psalms, and so on. So, look what it says here, and I'm reading verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints, which is, what is the breadth, and length, and depth, and height of what? The love of God. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When his love begins to flow out of me, I will literally begin living this kind of life, filled with all the fullness of God. Do you want to make heaven? Truly, do you want to make heaven? There's only one answer I can give you. Make sure you're living the life where the fruit of the Spirit is showing in your life. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you'll know them, not by their gifts. There's a big difference with somebody who's anointed, you know, for ministry and someone who loves Jesus. There's a lot of people anointed for ministry that hate the Lord, frankly, and hate His word. You say, what? What did you say? Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Well, like Balaam. Did Balaam love the Lord? No. But he was anointed, wasn't he? As a prophet. And whoever he blessed was blessed. Whoever he cursed was cursed. He didn't love the Lord. And so there's a lot of people in ministry today, sadly, that their hearts are cold towards God. But they're gifted in some way, and God did anoint them at one time when they walked with the Lord properly, and the gifts and callings are without repentance. So, but this is the guarantee here that I'm going to get to heaven. Number two, joy. The gift that causes the believer to know God's strength daily. You know, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, how do I get joy? I get joy when I go into the well of salvation. When I live this life in full salvation, the full life, the Christian life. I love what it says in Isaiah 12:3. With joy shall you draw waters out of the well of salvation, and in that day will you say, praise the Lord. With joy you're going to draw waters out of the well of salvation. So, if you think you've lost the joy, well, just pray what David prayed in Psalm 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, I don't want to embarrass Chad, but we were flying one time somewhere. I can't remember, flying back to California, I think it was. There was a guy sitting behind us, and Chad was just beaming like a Christmas tree, you know. He usually does. And that guy behind us, who was a pastor or a minister who worked with Bill Bright, could not take his eyes off Chad's smile. Finally, he said to him, you know, do you know the Lord? And they began talking. That man was really blessed by the joy he saw in his life. And I'm so proud of him because he really loves the Lord. Loving Jesus brings his joy. People are ecstatic about the Lord. They get very, very excited when they hear his name, you know. Or if someone says anything against the Lord Jesus, they really come alive and rebuke that person. Or, you know, the Bible says, I hate them that hate thee with perfect hatred. You know, I'm a Jesus man. I've always been a Jesus man. Anyone says anything about my Redeemer, they better not be near me, because I'll let them have it. You know, that's why I get so upset with people today who are mixing the gospel with other religions, finding some common ground. What is that all about? It's madness. So, joy also comes from the Word. Because Jesus said in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain. Wow, thank you, Lord. The Word of God keeps me joyful. And another thing, in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found. Wow. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Isn't that precious? Your word was found and I ate it. And your word was to me the joy, the rejoicing of my heart. So, how do I get that? Stay connected to the Lord. Number three, peace. Now, peace comes from what? Knowing I'm justified. Because justification, you know, Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. So, think about what the nations today spend on giving people peace through pills and psychiatrists who try and others. Billions and billions of dollars are spent today because people want peace. Yet Jesus gives it to us freely. My peace I give unto you. I was reading this morning in the Psalms, Psalm 119. Great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace, Lord. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing will shake them. Nothing will trouble them. So, but that peace, the Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, we have peace with God. So when you know you're living the Christian life, when you know you're forgiven, great peace comes. And Philippians 4:7, peace that passeth all understanding. How it comes? When I pray. Yeah, and you know, every one of these, and by the way, great peace have they, is Psalm 119, verse 165. So just make sure to write these down. But think about what I'm talking about. The peace that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds that Jesus gives. So what do I do? I told you earlier, get away from the world, get into the Word of God, get close to Jesus through His Word, and then get close to His people and fellowship with His people. And you will see peace return to your life. Maybe there's no peace today because you're neglecting the fellowship of the saints. You can't have peace without that. You can't have the fruit of the Spirit without that. And please, find the right church. You can't do it on the internet, okay? And I know right now because of COVID, we really had no choice. But it's wonderful to be somewhere and just be with God's people. Oh, we used to sing a song. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a joy that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see the happy faces. Praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Hallelujah. Okay, number four, and then I'm going to stop and continue tomorrow. Long-suffering. This fruit is directed towards our fellow human beings. No one needs long-suffering towards God, you know. We need long-suffering towards others. So, what is long-suffering? It's love on trial. Long-suffering is love on trial. Long-suffering is selfishness conquered. It's love on trial, selfishness conquered. So the Bible says, let's just read Colossians quickly. Long-suffering. But God, you know, God gives us that. We don't have to go look for it. I told you. You don't have to produce it yourself. This will guarantee heaven for you every day of your life when you're just connected to the Lord. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, that's long-suffering. And you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. You know, that's not possible without the Holy Spirit. You know that. So, it says, strengthened with all might. See, again, it's the Lord that does it. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So, the Lord, I think, defined it when He said to Peter, forgive 70 times 7. That's really long-suffering. When you just keep forgiving someone who injures you. So how many times a day, Lord? He said 70 times 7 if need be. You just don't stop forgiving. I remember one time I was in the car with my dear brother Chris and one of our staff people at that time here in Orlando stole money from our ministry. And Chris was so upset. And I said, Chris, we must forgive. I can't forgive. I said, Chris, we must forgive. We have to forgive. Boy, you could feel God in that car when I said that. We have to forgive. So if you want to see the Christian life, just stay close to the Lord Jesus. I promise you, you'll see these manifestations out of your life. Lord, let it be so. Let the reality of this word be so real in the life of that one watching and listening. In Jesus' most wonderful and darling name, I give you praise. Amen, amen. All right, it's time to give. I'll finish this teaching tomorrow, by the way. And on Wednesday, God willing, you're going to see my wife with me. She's coming here, so thank God. She's been so busy traveling, going about. So anyways, it's time to give to the Lord's work. The Bible says, give, it shall be given. It's a command from heaven. It's not a piece of advice. So when we obey that, the harvest will come. And the Bible makes it very clear. If you've received spiritual nourishment, it is your obligation. It's all our obligation as Christians to give of our money to the Lord's work, so the Lord's work can go on. But the promises God has given us are incredible when it comes to the rewards, the harvest that will keep coming for the rest of our lives, for us and our children. Think about what it says in Psalm 112. You know, wealth and riches shall be in his house, the man who loves the Lord. And then it says that when he gives, the enemy sees it, verse 9-10, and the enemy is grieved. So, you know, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But every time we give, we grieve the enemy. Satan knows that gift will be used for his destruction and his kingdom's destruction. So an offering really is a weapon in the Lord's hands. But also at the same time, God rewards you where you'll never have to worry about money, about your financial needs being met, because it's God's word. We have to trust the promises of God. So go ahead and sow right now, Benihin Ministries. You can do it on the platform you're watching me on, or simply go to benihin.org. Or text BHM 45777. Blessings. Now, this Friday is Good Friday. So join me for the Good Friday service at 5 p.m. East Coast. 5 p.m. East Coast. It'll be beautiful. Jim and Bruce and many of our singers will be there. Greg will be with us. Incredible musician. It'll be a beautiful time. So I'll see you Friday for Good Friday for communion. So have the communion elements ready. Much love and shalom.